United States troops have opened the new pier to get aid into Gaza by sea. But Israeli troops are continuing to advance on Rafah, where they have closed the border crossing through which a trickle of aid had been getting in from Egypt. Hundreds of thousands of Palestinians are on the move again after Israel's evacuation order. They've been ordered to go to a small strip of coastline, an unsafe zone, according to the EU's top diplomat Josep Borrell. He said this will worsen an already dire humanitarian crisis. Ahmad Bayram, Middle East spokesperson for the Norwegian Refugee Council, is on the line now from Jordan. Would you agree with Josep Borrell's assessment, Ahmad Bayram, that this will worsen an already dire humanitarian crisis?
Absolutely, it will, and it is already. I was speaking to our team, the Norwegian Refugee Council's team in Rafah yesterday, and they were talking about children sleeping on the sand, families sleeping in the open, mothers giving birth in the open, and also aid trucks not arriving. To hire a truck now to bring aid from point A to point B, the equivalent of someone commuting from one's home to one's workplace, now costs $500. A tent now in Rafah costs $800. I mean, these are staggering numbers, and that's all because Israel continues to press on with this with this dangerous plan to go into Rafah. And now people are evacuating everywhere, by the way, and not just in the evacuation zones that Israel has identified. We're talking about 600,000 people already uprooted from Rafah for probably the sixth or seventh time. So we are talking about a disaster unfolding already.
And you're saying people on the move, where are they moving to? What kind of conditions? Are water, sanitation, anything?
They're traveling in all directions, but mainly they are being pushed all the way to the coast, in a strip of land that is around 14 kilometers long. I mean, just imagine millions of people have to be, hundreds of thousands of people have been pushed in that direction. There's no water to even cook, and our team are telling us that people are cooking with undrinkable water. Children have to drink that as well. There's no food, besides the probably a bunch of rice and bread that you get per day. I think also with the closure of the Rafah crossing, we are, aid workers are effectively being disconnected from their lifeline. And the further, Israel pushes into these areas, the further away we are from aid. So we are looking at a real catastrophe here. First of all, the overcrowding in these, beach areas that are not made for human life. And second, us being so further, being pushed so far away from the Rafah crossing, which means, fuel will cost more, trucks will cost more, and food will cost more. And, this is an entire population on the brink now.
And this floating pier that the United States Armed Forces have made, which will allow UN aid to get into Gaza, how much will that be able to help?
It's still to be seen, to be honest. I mean, we've been hearing about this. Obviously, you've been reporting on this for months now. Now they're saying, the US saying it's ready to operate. Doesn't mean, it has started to operate. And we still don't know. We don't have a timeline on when that is going to be effectively in place. The other point is, who's going to manage that? Who's going to guarantee the safety of aid workers moving in that part of the world? We have seen tragic incidents. Mm-hmm. We have seen tragic incidents this week of aid workers getting killed. So it will be some difference, I hope, that it will make, but there is no alternative, and the US has admitted that there's no alternative to opening the land route, to letting aid in the cheapest, quickest way to relieve these people.
But so far, Benjamin Netanyahu's government, they have not been listening to US pressure, to international calls to hold off Rafah. So where will further pressure on Israel come from? Will it come from the International Court of Justice?
It has to come from all directions, including that, including the UN Security Council, and including some very serious words from the US. I mean, the US has in the past managed to dissuade Israel from going full on in Rafah. It has managed to convince Israel to open the crossing in the north. So diplomacy, when deployed the right way, it can work. However, what we see now is, you know, almost there's a sense of hopelessness, and there's a sense of some acceptance that this can happen, you know, under the watches of the entire world. Well, you know, no one blinks, and that is wrong, and that is why the US has to, you know, has to make it clear to Israel that there will be consequences, you know, within the law. That Israel has to respect, you know, as an occupying power, it has to respect the, you know, the duties that it has to bring food and bring water in and allow aid workers to work safely. So we are all for diplomatic pressure to continue from all sides.
Ahmad Bayram, Middle East correspondent for the Norwegian Refugee Council, thank you for speaking to us from Jordan this morning.